everyone. Welcome to the New Heart Church Leadership Podcast. We believe that as you invest and listen to this message, that your life is going to move forward. So get ready for an incredible message.
I'm absolutely honored to get to talk today. We're going to be talking about John the Baptist because I think he is one of the most inspiring people. And I'm obsessed with the book of John right now. So let's pray and then let's go. Father God, we love you so much. Just come. Let your presence come. Heal, lift, challenge, coach, inspire, empower everything that we need. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus Christ, thank you for your death on the cross, for taking every single sin, and for doing it for us. And thank you that the power that raised you from the dead lives in us. And I pray that we would live like it today, moving forward forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. John 3, verse 25. Let's do this thing, y'all. Let's do this thing. John. Okay, we love John. That's my son's middle name, is John. I want him to be named Jonathan, but Adrian said that was too basic and Christian. So there you go. You did say too basic. You're right. Okay. So John 3, 23. At this time, John the Baptist was baptizing at Enon near Salim because there's plenty of water there and people kept coming to him for baptism. Great reason. People keep coming to you for baptism. You're near water. Keep baptizing. Okay. This was before John was thrown into prison. A debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people, and everybody is going to him instead of coming to us. John replied, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you. I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. That last verse has become one of my prayers because it's one of Pastor Jess's prayers that she doesn't say, this is one of my prayers, but you can hear it every time she prays, whether it's from platform or privately, or in everything that she speaks about, that phrase is usually included. He must increase and I must decrease. He must become greater and I must become less. And getting to follow her and be discipled by her for over 10 years, it has become one of my prayers. And just realizing that this is actually, John the Baptist is one of the best examples of preparing the way for Jesus Christ, for every single person that we want to meet him. We want to be John the Baptist who just prepares the way and is just happy when the person encounters Jesus Christ. So we're going to go a little bit by a little bit. So we're starting with the debate. Verse 25, a debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him, Rabbi, the man you met, the one you identified, italics are absolutely mine, is also baptizing people, and everyone is going to him instead of coming to us. Be careful of your arguments. Be careful of your arguments because they steer your focus. Your arguments can make you start trying to convince others and convince yourself of something you knew was true before the argument started. Be careful of what arguments you get pulled into. They are in an argument with a Jew about ceremonial cleansing. Ceremonial cleansing. That's not their job. That was not their job. That was not their calling. And then, because they couldn't convince him, they ran to John to tell him. Be careful your arguments because they tear your focus. And often, someone else's questions can become ours. The moment that somebody else starts having questions, if we're not careful and we let ourselves get in the business of trying to be right and win an argument, their questions can take root in our own hearts. Be careful of the arguments that you get involved in. Almost never will you win one. Intellectual arguments about Jesus Christ almost never gain the purpose you wanted them to gain. It is about the person of Jesus Christ, and that is it. It is not about the ceremonial cleansing or the method. We get steered away from our focus so quickly, simply because we got drawn into an argument that was not ours to begin with. And sometimes we fight so hard to be credible that now you will actually choose the reputation you built over the truth you came to declare. So are we busy trying to convince the person that you weren't called to? This person did not even believe John the Baptist's baptism was credible. They were already against John the Baptist. The only person on his team was Jesus Christ. And they were trying to convince the person not on their team that they were better than the person on their team. Who's your team number one? Who's your team number one? Because too often we are trying to convince the wrong people who were against us to begin with. And they're not going to be with us once we convince them. We're just going to divide from the person we're supposed to run with. So who are you trying to convince? I feel this so strongly because I went to ORU. So we got in a lot of theological arguments all the time. That was our story. That was our life. We're very good at it. And I remember this one time I was in Spain. I got sent there on a my major. One of my majors was Spanish, and we were there studying Spanish for a month. And I lived with a girl from ORU who was a lawyer, and she was awesome. And then another girl who was from like this huge party school in Virginia, and she was awesome. But she lived a very different life than us. And we went in on a very hot topic that is a big deal to Christians and non-Christians to argue about. We were like all in like our little bedroom and just like going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I wasn't. For some reason, I felt a pause. I am an arguer, so this was just a moment of the Holy Spirit wisdom. But my friend was really going at it. She's very good, very smart, and was winning the argument. And the other girl wasn't swayed. She just shut down. The next day, we went for a walk on the beach, and we were just talking, and she broke down crying. We'd been arguing about abortion. And she goes, "Courtney, I had one, and I named him. And my boyfriend didn't want me to keep him. And so I went and had an abortion, and as soon as I was sad afterwards, my boyfriend told me, well, you didn't have to do it. You chose this. And she was sobbing, and I realized and I felt God teach me in that moment, no debate's worth it. Because she was arguing for abortion, but there was a story behind it. And if you take the time to hear a heart and not win an argument, you will go much, much further to actually connecting the person where you're supposed to connect them and not to just beating them at an argument. So be careful which arguments you're drawn into and make sure you know what the argument's about, because that argument sure sounded like it was about one thing, but it was really about a really broken heart that I got to tell her about Jesus. And if I'd fought her, I wouldn't have had that open door. So what are you trying to prove? The value of your ministry or the identity of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And I am for sure jumping back and forth between my notes right now. So thanks for bearing with me. Because when they came to him, they said, Rabbi, they're honoring him. The man you met on the other side, the one you identified, they're not even calling him the Messiah, is also baptizing people, and everybody's going to him. And John says, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I'm not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. It's the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Who are you connecting people to? Your ministry or Jesus Christ? What's the goal? What's the ultimate goal? Sometimes we use the familiar language for others and respectful for ourselves. The disciples of John were saying Rabbi, and they were like honoring him. But then they said, like, the man, they didn't even give him a name. It's John the Baptist's cousin, y'all. Like, the man you identified as the Messiah, everyone's going to him. He's not even saying Jesus, the man you identified. And then John has it straight, and he says, he uses the familiar, just only language just for himself. No, I am not the Messiah. I am only here to point the way to him. I am only here. I think about that vision and that focus, and that there's too often that we say, they're just a pastor. They're just my boss. They're just my wife. They're just my husband. They're just my kids. They're just my teammate. They're just a police officer. Like, they're just someone at Target. How often are we saying they are just, they are only? That language is reserved for us and not for others. For others, we use terms of respect and honor and the value that Christ has placed on them. For us, we say, I am just a man. I'm just a daughter that Jesus Christ loved. I am only here to point the way to him. And actually, I wonder how much anxiety would be released when we realize I'm only a girl trying to do one day at a time. I'm not trying to be anything but that. And he is God, and he is the one that saves, and he is the one who heals. And all I have to do is point the way, because I can do that, and that makes my life a whole lot less stressful. Okay, focus and mission. John knew his plan. Did he know when his plan was happening? No. Did he know how his plan was happening? No. Did he know what would happen now that he has pointed the way to the Messiah? No. When he was asked, he said, I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet. I am a voice in the wilderness saying, prepare the way of the Lord. That's his mission. He knew it in his heart. He didn't let other people's question marks become his own question marks. There were plenty of question marks. Did he know that he would die at the hands of Herod? No. No. Eventually, yes, but no. Because God doesn't give us the full story. God is king. We are servant. And we get a piece at a time, because that's what we can handle. And John the Baptist wasn't out here saying, why didn't you tell me more? Why didn't you tell me what to do? Once I declared that you were the Messiah and my disciples started following you and my disciples started dwindling, the people that I had built up and invested in and worked so hard on, and I had argued with Pharisees and I had argued with the religious people and I had argued and fought for my ministry to have credibility as a movement of the Lord. I had fought for that in this culture that is so hard to accept somebody who doesn't grow up in the Pharisaical sect or in the Sadducee sect. Like, I had fought for this, and now I'm going to give it away? My disciples are just leaving one by one. These people that I have spent time with and on and taught, they're just walking away. One mission. God didn't give him what to do with that. His job was to point the way to Jesus Christ, and he did it over and over and over and over and over again. We so often think that we are the ones in charge and should know the whole plan if we're going to follow it. God, whatever, like, our heart needs to be, God, whatever peace you give me, I don't want to drop it or use it or lose it. Like, whatever piece you gave me, I'm holding on to. I'm not tossing it out because it doesn't fit with what I see. I'm holding on to it. You gave me this much that I can hold in my hand and that I can see. I am willing to be a piece of the puzzle. I am willing to be a part of this, like, relay race where we pass the baton. I am willing to be a part of a team and not the whole team. I am willing to carry a piece of the plan and prepare the way, but not even see Christ crucified and resurrected. I am willing to stop here and know that the end of the story that I got to be a part of is so much further. Yeah. I signed up to serve the king. He doesn't have to fill me in on the whole plan because I didn't sign up for that. Yeah. Now, this is one of my favorite parts. It's the bridegroom that marries the bride. Yeah. It's the bridegroom that marries the bride. Verse 29. It's the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. It's the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. The bridegroom is Jesus. The bride is the church. It's not mine, and it's not yours. It's not mine, and it's not yours. It's not my team that I built. It's not my person I discipled. It's not my kids. It's not my husband. It didn't belong to me in the first place. Everything that I have touched, everything that I've built, everything I've created, every person I've spent time with, it doesn't matter how many years I've invested in someone. They do not belong to me. And if I get to stand and see them connected to Jesus in whatever capacity, That is my win. It is me, Jesus, his church. It is me, Jesus, his church. It is me, Jesus, his church. They don't belong to me. So when I pour in and disciple someone for 5 years and then they become a leader on your team, that's my win. And when I build an entire ministry and we start another campus and that whole ministry goes somewhere else and I need to rebuild another ministry, that's my win. And when I build up connect group leaders in youth that can run connect groups for middle schoolers and then they can run connect groups for adults and they're no longer in youth and you got to rebuild a whole team, that's y'all's win. That is a huge win. And creative team, if we have a whole nother campus and they all go and you have a whole nother group, that's a win. This is a win. It does not belong to us. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The church belongs to Jesus. I am not building something to belong to me. I'm not building a ministry to keep it. I'm building a ministry to give it away. Every step of the way, knowing that thing doesn't belong to me. From my children, to my work, to the details, to people. It doesn't belong to me. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. But my reward is who I'm standing next to. If this is my job, I stand next to Jesus Christ. What a place of honor. I get to stand next to Jesus Christ and watch what he does. That is our reward. Who are you standing next to? I'm connecting everybody to him. But guess where that means I stand? Has anyone ever been like the best man or the what do we call it for girls? Thank you. Maid of honor. What do we call it for girls? Like matron of honor. Has anyone ever been that? Where like you literally do all of the work. Like you are doing all the work, y'all. And you are handling all the mess. Have you ever been to like a wedding where like there's a huge mess? And you got to fix it and tell the bride it's all good. Anybody? There was one. And then you take like some hits from the bride's family. I don't know if anyone has done that, but you've taken some hits for the bride's family. And then you like de-escalate. And then everyone's like, what a beautiful wedding. And you're like, you're like twitching over there. Like you found hot dog buns in somebody's kitchen and you were like, these will work. But like that is, I think that feels like ministry sometimes. That really feels like ministry sometimes. You're going to take some hits. You're going to, like, find the hot dog buns in the closet that no one else found. That did happen. That's why it's an example. There were some serious hot dog buns, y'all. No one could find them. Anyway, but there's some it's you remember this. It was great. It's a good time. But that's our role. But then to get to stand, unlike with humans, when you're like there and they go after their honeymoon and you just go drop in a bed somewhere and are like, God help me. With Christ, you're a part of the celebration and you're in the place of honor. The place of honor doesn't have to be with everyone else. It's just who you're next to. This is all that we're going for, guys, is who we're next to. It's just who we're next to. We are connecting people over and over to him so that we can be next to him. And when Jesus washes everyone's feet, one of my favorite parts is it says, knowing where he came from and where he was going, he got up from the table, knelt down, and washed everyone's feet. I don't want to sit at the table anymore because that doesn't seem to be where Christ is. I want to be up with a towel and a thing of water and be next to Jesus washing every foot that I can find. So a couple things, so that we can become less and he can become greater and greater. Just a few practical things, real fast. By fast, I mean my kind of fast, not yours. Okay, ways to make him greater and greater. When you have an opportunity to build someone else's team or connect group, do it and don't tell anyone. When there is an opportunity to serve that gives you no credit and helps another team, another business, another person, do it. And don't tell anyone. When you want to bring someone or something down a notch because you can see the imperfections in that person or that thing, build it up. Build them up. Point out the best and honor. When someone does not treat you with honor, celebrate. We give honor up, down, and all around. But the moment someone doesn't treat me with honor is the moment I get to see the kind of leader I really am. It's easy to be a good leader when everyone's treating you like one. But I reveal the quality of my leadership when I'm disrespected and undervalued and honor anyway. So celebrate every opportunity where you are disrespected as an opportunity to give honor with no reward, which means there's only one person who can give you a reward. Okay, let's pray. And let's move on. Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you, we love you, we love you. I pray for your blessing to pour out. God, I pray for open heaven over every single person here, God, everyone listening, everyone in the room, over our pastors, God, over our church, God, just tear the veil and pour out your spirit on your sons and daughters, God. I pray for a lightness and a joy, God. God, I pray for the weights that so easily entangled to fall off and that we would run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. God, I pray for healing in our hearts, minds, and bodies, God. God, I pray for restoration. I pray for refreshment. I pray for an outpouring and a total filling and running over, that your living water would flow out of your church into Broken Arrow, Coweta, Bixby, Tulsa, and beyond. God, let your anointing come in greater measure than we've ever experienced. We love you. We surrender to you, and give us every opportunity to serve today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.